life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's in our Constitution. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We celebrate the 4th of July because of what happened in 1776. 13 colonies, church. 13 colonies and 56 representatives met with Congress and declared that no longer was America adjoined to Mother Europe, and no longer were we going to answer to her. So the Declaration of Independence was drafted. The document from which our Bill of Rights and our Constitution was taken. I felt impressed to wear the Constitution of the United States to church this morning with the flag all around it. Oh, you can't see it. There it is on the back. There you go. No, Anthony, you can't have it. The second sentence of the Declaration of Independence says this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable or unchangeable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." I want to spend this morning talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Because 247 years after this document was signed, we still enjoy the freedoms that the Declaration of Independence created for us. 247 years later. That's awesome. That's awesome. Father, I pray this morning as we look into Your Word, I pray somehow, God, that Your Holy Spirit would take me over. God, that Your anointing would be on me, Lord, to speak Your Word. God, that the voices in my head that are screaming at me and have been screaming at me all morning, that the enemy that would try and distract me, God, from declaring the truth of Your Word, Lord, I silence him right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, right now that Your anointing would be upon me to declare without reservation, Lord God, the truth of Your Word. God, because it is the truth of Your Word that will take a sinner like I was and transform me to be the man that I'm desperately trying to be for Your glory and for Your honor. Lord, You love us just the way we are, but You love us too much to leave us here, Father. And I'm grateful that You're doing a work in not only my life, but in the lives of those in the sound of my voice today. So, Lord, I pray that lives will be changed and transformed for Your glory and for Your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to look at life. The first word in my message title, I want to look at this word life. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says this: "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." And Jesus said, "But I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Listen, church, if you're not living a life of abundance, and I'm not talking about things and stuff and money. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about an abundant life filled with the things of God, filled with the joy of God, filled with the glories of heaven, filled with the prospect that one day, very, very soon, I believe, one day that eastern sky is going to bust wide open and the church is going to be gone. Living our life in abundance, knowing that one day that could happen. Because in contrast to the thief that takes your life, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives us life. And the life that He gives right now is a life abundant, rich, and full. If your life's boring, if your life's dull, if your life is less than, You might check your relationship with the Lord. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you that there's a level in Christ that we can go to. We're not under, we're above. We're the head and not the tail. I've spent plenty of time at the tail end of a cow. I've been slapped upside the head with a tail. Green. Hello. The cow was brown. The tail was green. You following me? You picking up what I mean. I'd a lot rather be on the head than the tail. The life that you and I have in Christ right now is abundantly rich and full. And by the way, it's eternal, yet it begins immediately. How many of you know whether you're serving the Lord or today or not, you're living eternally? Your choice, smoking or non-smoking. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Life in Christ, church, is lived on a higher plane because of His overflowing love and His forgiveness and His guidance. How many of you know today that He will guide us? How many of you know we have to be quiet and listen for His still small voice? He's not screaming at us. But He'll guide us if we'll listen to Him. This level that we're on, it speaks of the gift of divine, eternal life. A life that becomes the possession of every one of us for now and for eternity. For now and for eternity. Jesus, in fact, would provide His sheep with eternal life, and it would cost Him His own life. In James, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I want to spend the bulk of our time this morning looking at three aspects of life. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But life, if we don't have life, we don't have liberty, and there's no happiness to pursue if we don't have life. And especially the life that Jesus Christ gives for us. The first aspect of life I want for us to look at this morning is the complexity of life. The complexity of life. How many of you would say this morning, my life is somewhat complex? How many of you meet yourself coming back sometimes? You're going in so many different directions, you're like, oh, there I go. How in the world did I get there? I don't know. Have you ever been driving and been so tired that you're just driving and you're just droned out and you're just driving and you're just driving and all of a sudden it's like the lights come on and you look around at where you're at and you're like, how in the world did I get here? Because you've been sleeping for the last 15 miles. That's too busy. That's way too busy. The complexity of life. Think of all that is involved in life today. Or rather, think of all that is involved in life, period. We have today. We have tomorrow. We have buying, we have selling, getting gain, losing, going here, going there. It's constant. My neighbor said to me the other day, "Do you ever stop?" I said, "I haven't for a while." They said, "Well, you need to." They said, "As a pastor, you don't even get the Sabbath rest. You don't even get the Sunday off. So you better make a way for you to get a day off somewhere. Because if you don't, you're going to crash." Going, going, going. Life is made up of people and places, activities and goals, days and years. And each one of us has to make crucial decisions day after day, day in and day out. I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning working on this message. And I've had to make decisions all morning long. And I've been by myself except for some dogs and a cat. And I've been just making decisions. I've had to make decisions on this platform. Kathy made me make a decision this morning, and I didn't like it. But we did it. Glory to God. And it all worked out well. Decisions, decisions, decisions. Crucial decisions. Apart from the will of God, can I just submit to you that life is a mystery? Can I tell you right now, I know probably everybody in the sound of my voice today has got plans for this afternoon. But you don't know whether those plans are going to come to pass or not. You do not know that. You do not. Listen, the older I get, the more I am aware that life is but a vapor. Here one minute, gone the next. I've seen it over and over and over in my life. Friends that are even way younger than I am look completely healthy and just bam, gone. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Life is a mystery. But when we know Jesus as our Savior and when we seek to do His will, life begins to make sense. Because listen, it doesn't matter whether I live or whether I die, whether I never get in this pulpit again because of death. I don't have to worry about it because I know where I'm going. I don't have to worry. I'm not in a hurry to die. Listen, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die to get there. Is that true? I mean, we don't want to die. I mean, I'm all for the rapture. But outside of the rapture, I'm going to have to die to get to heaven. And I'm not worried about that because I know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that He's able to get me through the complexity of this life into the I don't even know what the word is for the who said glory? Exactly. The glories of heaven. Listen, I'll trade what we got down here for the glories of heaven any day. Any day. See, it's good for us to have goals. It's good for us to have goals. In fact, I've training this new driver this last week, and she informed me that she's got a 1-year goal and a 5-year goal and a 10-year goal. And I said, "That's good. That's good to have those kind of goals, but sometimes let's just get through today." That's my goal. That I got goals too. It's getting through my sermon and getting lunch. Come on. Woo! Glory, glory, hallelujah. Goals are great. But goals can disappoint us if we leave God out of them. See, There's no point, church, in making plans as though God doesn't exist because the future is in His hand. I know that because Philippians chapter 1 says so. He who began a good work in me is still working on me. Ecclesiastes. Is it Ecclesiastes that says, I know the plans that I have for you? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. 29, whatever. It's between Genesis and Revelation. I know the scripture, I just don't know the address, apparently. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 29, 11. Way to back me up, brother. Glory to God. Woo! Tommy's got the preacher's back. I love it. I love that. Way to go, buddy. See? That's his goal. To support the pastor, and I appreciate it. Amen. Number one, the complexity of life. Number two, the uncertainty of life. In almost 64 years of my life, one thing that I've learned is that life is uncertain. And in James chapter 4, verse 14, in the first part of it, it says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? What is your life? And so this statement is based out of the Old Testament book of Proverbs in chapter 27 and verse 1, where it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day might bring forth. See, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and to say nothing of a year off in the future. And I used to watch when we had regular TV, and you watch some of those channels, and on those channels the psychics would come on there, you know, and then psychics would they'd lose their business and all this. You'd have thought they'd have saw that coming, prepared for that a little better. I mean, it might speak to their downfall, I guess. Actually, not very good at it. Anyway, that was supposed to be funnier than it was. Now you laugh. These people that they're talking about here in James and also in Proverbs, they were planning as if their future was guaranteed. Are you planning as though your future is guaranteed? Because in a real sense, our future is guaranteed in Christ. But what I'm going to do tomorrow is not guaranteed. Does that make sense? So James isn't suggesting that they don't make plans because of some possible disaster, but to be realistic about the future as we trust in our Lord and Savior to guide us. And so because the future is in fact uncertain, it's even more important that we completely depend on God. Lord willing, I'm going to do this or that. If God wills, I'm going to do this or that. My life, I plan on preaching tonight, but whether I do or not is up to God. I plan on preaching on Wednesday night, but whether I do or not is up to God. Our lives are uncertain. It's like the morning fog that covers the countryside in the morning and then is burned away by the sun. As a hunter, fog is one of the things that frustrates a hunter no end. I remember sitting on a canyon one time waiting for the fog to lift so that I could go in there and hunt, because I just knew the whole thing was socked in. And after sitting there for 3 hours in my pickup, I decided, you know what? To heck with this. I'm going somewhere else. I drove a mile down the road and the fog was just like that thick. I sat there for 3 hours for nothing. Mike, what are you laughing at? Uh-huh. Birds of a feather flock together, right? It can frustrate you like nothing else. But our life is here one moment and the next minute a gust of wind and it's gone. Casey Cole, my grandson, turned 7 years old. He was just born. I don't know how that happened. Your little granddaughter was just a little baby. She's 5 years old. She came up to me this morning during practice. She was sitting in the front and just she stares at me while I play the bass. She just stares at me. And she walked up here and she got right in my face. And she said, "You're amazing." I just about melted. "Are you kidding me? You're amazing." "So are you. Here's $20. Wow. Listen, life is not uncertain to God. It is uncertain to us. Only when we are in His will can we be confident for tomorrow. For we know that He is leading us. Today is the day we have set before us to live for God. Live for God today with everything that we have. Amen? I mean, today's the only day we have. The third one I want to look at, number one, the complexity of life. Number two, the uncertainty of life. Number three, the brevity of life. James chapter 4 and verse 14. "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life?" The last part says, "It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." It's one of the repeated themes of Scripture is our life and how fast it can be gone. And to us, life seems long. How many of you thought that 60 years old was old when you were like... Now you're in your 60s and maybe you're mid-60s or the 70s or 80s or however old your 90s. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, it ain't that old. It's just not. I'll be 64 next week. I feel pretty young. Except for when I try and get up. It's after I get up and get stable. All right, here we go. All right, now I'm 25 again. Let's do this. The brevity of life. We count our years at every birthday. But God tells us in Psalms 90 and verse 12 that we're to number our days. I'm not even trying that. After all, we live one day at a time. And those days rush by faster and faster and faster the older we get. Like, where's the brakes? How do I slow this train down? It just keeps gaining speed, gaining speed. It's like I want to do this and that, but I'm out of time. It's bedtime again. Just a few years ago, I mean, it seemed like yesterday, several of you were gathered in my backyard for my 60th birthday. I'm almost 65. I'll be 64. What the heck? It ain't right. I'm glad they're not going to count yours in heaven. Amen? We're just going to be there for eternity. Since life is so brief, listen to this, church. Since life is so brief, we cannot afford to merely spend our lives. You can't just spend your life, and we certainly don't want to waste our life. Because you're going to give an account, church, for your life when you stand before the Lord one day. You're going to give an account for what you did with your life. You and I must invest our lives in those things that are eternal. God reveals His will in His Word, yet most people ignore the Bible. Pastor, I wish the Lord would speak to me. Which is an indicator that they aren't spending any time in His Word. Because God doesn't always speak to us with an audible voice. He speaks to us through His Word. Well, I don't know what God would have me to do. Well, are you reading His Word? Well, no. Well, then how do you expect to know what He wants you to do? Because I can tell you what He wants you to do. Read Matthew 28. Read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Have you been endued with power to be a witness? We have to invest our lives in things that are eternal. God reveals His will in His Word. The Bible gives precepts, principles, and promises that can guide us in every area of your life. If you have a question about your life, it's answered in the Bible. It is answered in the Bible. We don't know about tomorrow. In fact, we don't know what's going to happen an hour from now. But our lives, at most, are only a vapor and appear for a brief time and vanish away. But once we're born in the world, the only thing that we can know for sure is that we're going to die. Sooner or later, we're going to die. Not trying to ruin your day. But I am trying to prepare you for eternity, because unless we address the issues, if the doctor says you have cancer and you ignore it, you're going to die. If you have blood gushing out of your arm because it's been cut and you ignore it, you're going to die. You've got to do something about it. I can't change the fact that I'm going to die, but I can change the fact about where my destination is. It's appointed unto man once to die, the Bible said, and after that, the judgment. I'd a lot rather stand before the Lord and give an account for my life than hear Him say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Spend an eternity in the presence of the devil in hell. He can promise you all kinds of things this side of hell, but when He gets there, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. Life is just a vapor. It appears and it can be seen, but it's not solid and it's not substantial and it's not permanent. It shifts and is buffeted about and disappears so soon. All because of its nature and the changes of its environment. That's a vapor. It's like fog. And that's the way it is with your life and mine. It appears, and then it's gone. You can't do anything about it. You cannot do anything about it. I want to look at the next word in our message title, liberty, as it relates to our Christian life. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 31 through chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Verse 1 of chapter 5, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Anybody besides the pastor ever been entangled again with the yoke of bondage? Don't do it. We're cautioned in Galatians chapter 5 and dropped all the way down to verse 13. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Not only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Through love, serve one another. Can I tell you that I've not always been loving in my service to one another, and for that I ask you to forgive me. Christ died to set us free from sin and from a long list of laws and regulations. Christ came to set us free, not free to do whatever we want, because that would lead us back into slavery to our selfish desires. You know why you don't know the day, your last day? Because we'd live like crazy right up until the time, and then we'd repent and hope that we made it in. We have to live by faith. We need to have our thanks ought to be to Christ, because we are free and able to do what was impossible before, and that is to live unselfishly. I was and would probably be considered a selfish person today. I'm way better than I used to be. At Christmas time, my dad would give us all money to buy presents for one another. I would find the cheapest things that I could find, and I would buy them for my sisters. And then with whatever I had left, I'd buy me something nice. Because I was selfish. Christian liberty helps us to live unselfishly. Legalists in the church today warn that we dare not teach people about the liberty we have in Christ, lest it result in religious anarchy. The Christian who lives by faith is not going to become a rebel. I live by faith, in faith, through Christ, and because of that, I'm bound. There are certain things, even though I have liberality in Christ, as I have liberty in Christ, yet I have confines. I can do anything within the confines of the boundaries that are set and established in God's work. All of us can. See, no man would become a rebel who depends on God's grace and is yielding to God's Spirit and in our lives for others, and we seek to glorify God. If your life is seeking to glorify God, you're not going to be a rebellion. You're not going to be a rebellious person. You're not going to be a rebel if your life is truly trying to seek the glory of God. Christian liberty is liberty to serve one another in love. Love for other believers flows outward from God, from what God has done in every one of our lives. Think about how much God has forgiven you for. Everything that the Lord has forgiven me for is what motivates me to be a forgiver of those that need my forgiveness. Because I know how much I've been forgiven. And the Bible says that we will be forgiven by the way we forgive one another. Love for others flows outward from what God has done in our heart. The Greek word that is using here is the word agape, which refers to selfish, to selfless, self-giving love. Christian freedom does not leave us as believers wandering through life without laws and rules and restraints or guidelines. Instead, it is that we live freely according to the standards and glorifying God through loving service to one another. Again, inside the parameters of God's Word, we live to and love one another with the love of the Lord. Amen? Let me wrap this up this morning with the pursuit of happiness. Happiness in the Word can actually joy can be substituted for happiness, but because these words are closely related, but joy is more of a state of being than an emotion. Joy is a result of choice. We get happy when we receive things. We get happy when things go our way. But joy is something that can be ours in the worst of circumstances. I can still be filled with joy whether I get what I really wanted or not. I can still have joy. The Bible goes so far as to say that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let me just wrap this up. Luke chapter 15 and verse 7. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons that need no repentance. Every time somebody walks the aisle in this church and gives their life to the Lord, the Bible says that angels in heaven rejoice. They rejoice. The shepherd left the 99 sheep. And by doing so, he wasn't saying that they are unimportant to him. He was saying, listen, you guys are safe, but there's one of you that is lost out there and in danger. Outside of the fold is what it's talking about. And the fact that the shepherd would go after one sheep is proof that every animal, every one of his sheep was dear to him. Every one of us is dear to the Lord. Saved or unsaved, Christ died that every one of us would have eternal life. In fact, he said, I'm not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge. Now, he's not saying that there aren't those that are going to perish, because there are. Because of the stubbornness and the rebellion of our heart, we refuse to accept Jesus. But I can tell you this morning, with a heart of forgiveness and a heart of love, with an attitude that is saying, listen, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And when we can say that with assurance, we can face anything that comes our way. We can face anything. So this week, as we celebrate our independence as a nation, may we be reminded of our dependence upon Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. One more scripture about life, with heads bowed and eyes closed. People praying. One more scripture about life. You'll know it immediately when I begin to share it. It's one of the foundational truths in God's Word. And it speaks about life. And in John chapter 3, it declares, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Everlasting life. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about just been going to church. I'm talking about, do you have a personal relationship? Have you confessed your sins to Him? Have you asked Him to come into your heart and to change you? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears me and opens the door and invites me in, I will come in and have sup with him and he with me. Today Jesus is knocking on the heart, on your heart's door. And He's asking you, will you open the door and let me in? If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand this morning because I want to pray with you to receive the Lord. I want to pray with you to receive Jesus. Because I promise you, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Everything I've read about hell indicates to me without reservation that it is no place that I want to be. So this morning, if you've either never accepted the Lord or if you've accepted Him and find yourself adrift at sea, as it were, and a long ways from where you know you need to be in Christ, this morning He's calling you back. He's saying, maybe you're the one of the 100. You're the one that He left the 99 for, and He come looking for you. And today, you're here, and He's saying, if you'll just surrender, if you'll just surrender. He wants to welcome you back into the fold. If that's you today, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all? Preacher, that's me. Preacher, that's me. Father, I love You. I thank You. I'm grateful that we can count on You and depend upon You. And I pray that this 4th of July, as we celebrate our independence, Lord, that You by Your Spirit would remind us that we are dependent upon You. Father, I just ask today that You would guide us, direct us, go with us, keep us safe, bring us back together tonight, for Your honor and for Your glory, to worship You again in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. They're divvying up the cookies and some cakes and stuff there. If you want to just grab a cup of coffee and have a cookie or a brownie or some cake or pie or whatever's over there, help yourself to it. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.